Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Boom, boom, boom.
Where's everybody running? Look at everybody go. Blah, blah, somebody please tell me. Why's all the rush?
I'm gonna tell you about Babaloo's getting married.
What you say?
Oh, Babaloo's getting married.
That you say?
Yeah, the cherry bells singing.
Some people think it's true. Babaloo's getting married. What will he do?
He met a woman at a baseball game.
Play second base with Milwaukee Braves.
Husky Babalina was her name.
He asked for an autograph and made a thing.
Oh, Babaloo.
To borrow a dime,
he could get to church in time.
Oh, Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo, Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo, Babaloo, Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo, Babaloo,
Babaloo's wedding day.
He had a monkey tying a string,
an organ banner that he played,
counting the money at the end of the day.
The monkey took the money and he ran away.
Oh, Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo, Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo,
Babaloo,
you want to introduce yourself?
Sarah Wintz.
And I'm George Chen. Sarah, you're looking at a bunch of records that I've...
Ooh, the Venetian Snares!
Yeah, that record, I probably... There's a lot of these things where, like, I shouldn't really...
Oh my god!
Do you like that record?
Yeah?
It's your record.
Yes!
Oh, I'm getting rid of a lot of stuff. You want to ask me any... You want to ask me questions about this?
Where'd you get this Alaskan Folk Songs record? Hashtag, is it also relevant to your music?
Paul Roseland Alaskan Folk Songs I bought as a present to give to Rob Fisk because he's an Alaska person.
Oh.
But I never gave it to him because I listened to that record and it's not very good. That is like something, it's cool, it's a cool record, but I'm like never going to listen to it again.
I'll listen to it.
That's also...
I'm going to listen to it while I make
okay,
dinner.
Okay, so what you're holding now, a sound effects record.
Oh, cool.
That someone gave me as a birthday gift once.
You underlined this helicopter.
I didn't write... That's not my writing. I don't know. There's pretty good stuff on there.
Can I listen to...
Ooh. You know what? These are all your... That's a Halloween record.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I guess this should have been, like, a video. But, yeah. So, how's your life going, Sarah? What's going on?
It's pretty good. I've walked over here today from my studio.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nice out.
Yeah, it was nicer earlier. It's getting a little gray.
I know, it looks
Oakland
like it's gonna rain.
What is it, like Sunday in Oakland? It's Easter Sunday.
Yeah, it's totally Easter Sunday.
And we've been wanting to do a podcast together for a while, and we've never found a way to do it have a theme.
I know, but now we have a theme because we're talking... Oh, here's David Horvitz's lovely Polaroid book.
Oh, yeah, I guess I'm not really going to sell that, David. David, do you listen to podcasts, David? Let's talk about our friend David. No, there's a lot of stuff. I hit this point where I am a person, like I was saying, who gets emotionally attached to a lot of my stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it makes it hard to unload it. And then when it comes times like now where I'm like not sure what I'm doing. No, there's nothing. That's just art supplies. That's a very good,
What's this dildo?
Art supply. I need.
Oh, God.
I need a lot of dildo in my art. But, you know, when you, it's like, how close am I to becoming a hoarder, in your opinion?
I don't think you're a hoarder. I just think that since you have a distribution thing and you
that's
like,
part of it.
Are a musician, you have all these records.
I have ADD. That's basically what it comes down to.
The ADD doesn't necessarily mean you're a hoarder.
Right. Well, I mean, I think I'm borderline. I think it's in my family. I definitely see a genetic, if not a genetic predisposition, just a general predisposition to this type of behavior. And I don't know where it comes from.
Hmm.
I don't really understand it. But I do think, like, when I talk to someone about this problem, that it came to light that my family, my aunt told me recently that my family got really freaked out, or they didn't get really freaked out. My aunt would not say that my family got freaked out. My family left China kind of like in a rush.
Uh-huh.
Like, they didn't know that they were like leaving China like forever. So basically they were like, hey, let's take a bunch of kids.
Why did they leave?
Because of the war that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, that's as specific as I can get. Well, it's like the nationalists versus like, I guess like Mao.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up going to Taiwan like on a day's notice with only like whatever they had with them, like the clothes on their backs.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it was very hard to get out of China, and they had to start over a new life basically with whatever they had on them
mm-hmm.
at the time. And that's like four kids. Like, my aunt was, like, 2 weeks old when they did this or something.
Wow.
So, it's kind of, I kind of understand my oldest aunt. She has a really extreme, like, stacks of newspapers style hoarding. She has clothes that are immaculate from the 70s that are wrapped in plastic.
Really?
Yeah. And so I can kind of understand, like, because they were basically, like, refugees for that little bit of time. They were, like, basically refugees.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that, psychologically, you get in this state where you can be, like, oh, I need stability, I need stuff, I need to, like, hold on to that, and it's symbolic of something, right? It's, like, a sentimental attachment that you have to your stuff.
Mm.
But I think, it's weird, because I don't think my dad necessarily had the same thing, or my dad is just way cleaner, but my aunt definitely has, she would be considered a hoarder by many people if you actually looked through her apartment.
But I mean, like, everyone responds to that sort of situation differently.
Exactly, right.
Things
it's like I think like it is a trauma thing, though, in a way. My thing is, like, I've been at this place for, like, 4 years.
Aww.
And it's because I feel, I like having a sense of stability. Also, it's, like, only the second place I've lived without any roommates.
Mm.
And it's just an awesome apartment, to be honest. Right? So,
yeah.
I just feel
your
like
apartment is epic.
I just feel, like, reluctant to let it go.
It's, like, the best thing about the Bay Area, I think.
Is my apartment.
Kind of.
And, like, I got this apartment from my friends. My friends lived here for, like, 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Like John Dietrich and Kay.
Uh-huh.
And they love this block, and they only moved like a couple doors down. And I love this block also. I just don't imagine myself getting a job where I'm going to be needing to be right here.
Thank you. Done it.
No, that's the thing I realized, like, I've kind of not been living here since August, so it's like, I've been in, like, maybe, like, 6-7 months where I've survived without most of this stuff.
What if you just get rid of all of it?
I was thinking about that. Do you think...
Like, just don't like, even think about it, and just, like, bring everything to Amoeba, bring everything to Moe's, and just get rid of all of it.
But doesn't that... Don't you feel like you would regret... Now, you've done a lot of cross-country moves, though.
Yeah.
So, like, do you regret anything that you've, like, done that with?
Once I abandoned my family's kitchen table and my studio in Brooklyn, and I wish I had gone back and gotten it or something, but other than that...
Because that's a family thing.
It felt, yeah, and it was also a nice kitchen table, and I just was like, I gotta get out of here, and, oh no, there was a subletter there, and the subletter had all these problems with the place and sort of left it, and there was no way for me to get in to get the table, so, yeah.
So you're not, you don't get,
but otherwise, nah, I kinda,
you're not super sentimental about that stuff.
Really, sometimes I get, like, every once in a while, but there's so much stuff, and everything never goes away, and if you really want something, you can always buy it again, if you miss something. I guess that's how
See,
I feel. I've rebought books that I owned.
Yeah, that seems kind of...
But also there are libraries. Friends that you can...
Well, there's starting to be less of anything. Like, when I look at, like, okay, so this is, like, probably, like, I don't know... 400 records or something like that. Not that much compared to other people, but also that is like a thing that once you start to get into that world, you're kind of just in it or not.
Yeah.
And it's like, do I want to just fold my hands and be like, get rid of all this stuff? Because...
Well, yeah.
You think that that is something I could just straight up do?
Shed some stuff. Maybe this isn't just the end of the end of your apartment. It's the end of humanity. You know, like, no more stuff. No stuff. It's...
Well, I mean...
You just get rid of it.
That's like the digital apocalypse, essentially.
Maybe
it's like...
the end of your apartment and the beginning of the digital apocalypse.
This sort of reminds me of when I was... yesterday I ran into my friend Matt Sussman, who writes about art for The Guardian, but now he's doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, I just gotta check... from 2010 for some writing I did for The Guardian. I don't even remember what it was for. And he's like, what's the, what is the new name of, Titanic 3D?
What?
The Alternative Weekly.
No!
I was coming.
acting in music. So that's a pretty interesting just screen print. There's like some note on the back where it came from. I don't actually even know what that is. It might be a sample. I don't even know how I ended up with it. This is the kind of things that I pick up these things up when other people move, and that becomes part of my personality,
I think that's
too.
Wording.
Hmm?
I think maybe that's wording. This you could just throw out, and you'd feel comfortable with
it. Yeah, it's nice, but what would I do with it? Like, I can't do anything with it. It's just like a sample paper. Okay. Yeah. So that's me. You want to? What else is going on with? Well, what projects are you working on? Let's talk about some projects that you did before.
Okay.
Is the postcard project kind of over?
Yeah, the postcard project is.
Do you want to explain what it was?
Postcard project was really fun. It's the Pretty Panics Press, and I started it when I was in college, and it's a postcard press inspired by James Tenney's postcard compositions that publishes rock compositions on the front of postcards with artist statements on the back. And I did it to look at all the different ways that rock musicians notate their music, because there's so many different ways that rock musicians write.
Are there any that you kind of got submissions for that you just haven't made the cards yet?
There's one.
Which one's that?
It's this band, Pure Horsehair.
Mm-hmm.
They're really cool. It's taken me a long time. I still will probably do it at some point, but it's taken me forever.
Well, what...
And I sort of told him, I was like, man, it's taken me a really long time.
Did you ever think about doing, like, a little box set series of
Totally.
Do you have any left of all these things that you could
mm-hmm.
do that with?
Yeah.
So who are the other people that had done it?
Chess Smith, Molly Thompson, John Darnielle, Sharon Cheslow, Suzanne Thorpe, George Beringer.
Who's Molly Thompson?
Molly Thompson is a really awesome composer who writes rock songs that are really unusual and really compelling and very beautiful.
Uh-huh. It's as a solo project under her own name.
Well, she uses musicians, but she sings, and sometimes other people sing with her. I wrote lyrics for her once, and she sang the lyrics, and it was awesome. It sounded beautiful.
Cool.
So she does lots of different stuff.
Is she East Coast person?
She's East Coast and West Coast now, because she lives in L.A.
Oh, okay.
It's in L.A. and New York.
Okay, I'll have to look up her stuff. I've never heard of her before.
Yeah. Yeah, you can watch a video of her singing these lyrics that I wrote on Vimeo. I think the name of it is called
Thank you. don't know if you saw that post. This girl that I went to school with, her sister was in Smog, like, early on.
Oh, Cindy Dahl?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then I posted, she passed away, Cindy like, Dahl. On Thursday.
Oh, I didn't know
that. And I only knew that because I happened to see Renee, her sister's, like, posting on her Facebook account. And I was like, fuck. Really gnarly. So, I didn't know what happened. She didn't really say what happened. I just reposted, like, R.I.P. Cindy Dahl, and then, like, a bunch of people that... A lot of people I wouldn't even think were, A, Smog fans or Cindy... Also, fairly obscure artists, but you knew who she was.
Yeah.
And you were like, that's not even your generation. Writer. Yeah. That's not even, like, your generation's music. Like, well, she did a record in, like, 2003, but, yeah, it's a little surprise. I was surprised at how many people in the music community, or even a little bit outside the music community, were, like, totally knew her stuff. And it almost seems like a lot of people hadn't thought about it in a long time, because she hadn't put out a record in, like, you know, God, almost
really
10 years.
Sad.
It's very, like, yeah, dreamy, but really creepy.
Yeah, there's that one song that goes something like, dug these out because I'm like, I need to like put these on the podcast. It's a red one.
It's on this one. Mm-hmm. See, I feel like
I
oh, you've never heard this one? Mm-mm. This one is like, I have to make you a copy of this. This is like the one that is like,
oh, really?
Everyone is like pretty obsessed with this one. And a lot of people, I think a lot of people think of this one more than this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because this, okay, so just for when I'm just saying this one and that one, but so, Cynthia Dahl did this album, it came out in, like, 96, and it was just, had no name on the spine or nothing on the artwork,
mm-hmm.
on the outside at all to indicate what it was, and it was filed under Untitled, and I think when Drag City put it out, it was just called Untitled, but, like, Bill Callahan's on it, there's, like, a duet they do together, and so, I think the subsequent pressings they actually attributed to her, but,
left the house. left the house. The sun still shines. It doesn't know you're dying. And where is he now? We're here.
Now it's your ass against the
wind. You could stop up the dam. With one finger. With one finger.
This land will be flooded.
Stop up the dam.
This land will be flooded.
Stop up the dam.
So you actually had heard that Red record, and you were a fan of that record.
I've had that Red one for a really long time.
Yeah. But yeah, it is weird because I didn't really know her. I think I maybe met her twice. I met her.
She was in Sacramento, right?
Yeah, she. Well, her sister I knew from school and like student stuff,
mm-hmm.
and so I met her once through that. She'd come down to help her campaign. And I only a couple months ago got back on in touch with Renee because I just randomly thought of her and, like, looked her up on Facebook. And she's, like, she's an expert in natural childbirth after going to, like, Harvard Law School.
Cindy Dahl?
Renee, her sister.
Oh,
the
wow.
one that I knew. And so I just kind of, like, randomly looked her up and... it's a really interesting crew of people that I was in student government with, because at the time our president was Chunk from the Goonies, this guy Jeff Cohen, who, like, The only really vivid memory I have of that is once I saw Jeff do Shylock in Merchant of Venice at Cal, and he was obviously, like, two things, a former fat kid and a former child actor. I think that is a really difficult combo to get through your college years with. So he was actually a pretty buff dude, because I think he had been like, I'm going to get rid of this fat kid stigma. And like, you're like famous for being a fat kid, basically. That is beyond just a regular fat kid thing. You're like just known for being a fat kid.
That's rough.
Yeah. So he was like, you know, trying to be like a thespian or something at the time. And then I feel like when he ran for student body president, it was this thing of like, of course he's going to win. Like, who, you have the entire marketing power of like the Spielberg machine from the time you were like 8 or whatever to now. To, yeah, of course, who's not going to vote for Chunk from the Goonies for president of the student body? Another guy that was in our student government was this guy, Guy Branum, who is now a really good stand-up comedian who got his start, I think, doing writing for Chelsea Handler. So he wrote a lot on Chelsea. Yeah, he's was a writer for Chelsea's show. I was on panel a lot. I think he did, like, tours with Chelsea, and, like, he was just in that movie No Strings Attached with Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he plays, like, the big gay roommate of Natalie Portman. That's his character. So, I'm like, did your character have a name, even? He's, like, everything you saw was pretty much all you know about my character. He made sassy comments. And he got to ogle Ashton Kutcher's butt. That's pretty much it.
That's such a lame, like, okay, gay guy.
Well, yeah.
Ogle the straight dude who's
yeah, well,
over his butt.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, did these people think they were being progressive by putting that in there? I don't really know how that works.
Hmm.
Oh, that record you just pulled out is, I can't give you that for free. But it is a Ikki Mori and Juliana Barwick. Yes, you can.
How much are you selling it for?
I have to look it up.
Okay.
And, so yeah, Guy and I kind of randomly reconnected with Guy because like a lot of random things. Like we knew each other like whatever in the 90s, and then I ran into him once in Minneapolis when he was in law school, just randomly at like a pub or something, and then. He brought this up the other day. He saw me when I was working at this movie theater. And I was, like, in my mid-20s working in a movie theater. And he's just like, George Chen working at a movie theater! And I was, like, kind of, like, a little bit shaming.
Weird.
A little bit shaming, but yeah. I think he, I don't know if he meant it in an insulting way, but I think I took everything then as an insult.
You're working at a movie theater?
Yeah, and it was an interesting movie theater. At
Which
the time, I worked at the Albany Twin, and my coworkers were, like, John Mink, and, well, I actually didn't really know John at the time, but it was, like, John worked there, my manager is now my bandmate, Gregory, Owen from Cassie Tone for the Painfully Alone, and now Advanced Space worked there,
mm-hmm.
So it was just, like, a bunch of, like, weirdos that would hang out with each other, and, you know, we'd sometimes have, like, popcorn fights. It was just basically a job I knew I could get when I had no other job options. And I was doing something weird at the time where I was living at my parents' house and commuting to Albany to do this job.
That was super weird.
It was super depressing.
Yeah.
It was a very depressing time. I had, like, very few options. Anyway, around that time. But then, last year, I went and took this class at UCB,
mm-hmm.
this improv class. A Upright Citizens Brigade, not
mm-hmm.
UC Berkeley. And, like, I walk in the door, and it's, like, Guy Branum is there. It's, like, what are the odds? I walk into a room of, like, 20 people in Los Angeles, and I know someone. It is very strange.
We'll be right back.
That's J.J. Burnell from The Stranglers, a track called Freddie Laker from a record called Your Man Cometh, which I'm told the backstory is he was the homeless member of The Stranglers and slept in the studio and made this whole record while they're making Radis Nervoticus. That's the story anyway. Before that was Bonal from their debut 2003 cassette By Ropes Through Dirt with Six Within Death. And before that, Kit, a band that I am in, KIT, and a track called Lazarus Taxa from our friend's compilation, Benefit for Caring is Cool, and the album is called The Animal Within Us, and put together by Charlene Yee, and has her band, Old Lumps, as well as Moses Campbell, Fred Armisen, The Finches, and Bobcat Goldthwait, which I will hopefully one day play that track. Thanks for sitting through the new format I'm trying out for this podcast with a little bit more than just me in a room. It's me and someone else in a room. To back announce the other tracks that were played, there was something off the first Cynthia Dahl album, a track called Holland, which is her and Bill Callahan, off the Untitled album, and Be Safe With Me from the second album, Sound Restores Young Men, also in Drag City. There was a track off of Vimeo, which was Molly Thompson and her song using Sarah Wentz's lyrics. And played something from Raincoats, Audie Shape, Red Shoes. And they were in town about a month ago. And I, yeah, wanted to include some Raincoats. And I don't know how to pronounce this other track, but it's by Na Hawa Dumbia, and it's a reissue of a woman from the 70s on Awesome Tapes from Africa. And yeah, I just opened everything up with The Eternals and Babalu's Wedding. So let me know what you think of this new format. You can find me on Twitter at GeorgeTheChen. You could also go to the website, zumonline.com. I hope you do. I hope you do go to the website. I dare you to go to the website. And we're going to leave you with this track that has been going around on YouTube, and it's some kids that are like 7 years old doing a Rammstein cover, and it's pretty great. Thanks for listening. Sechs, sieben, acht, neun, aus.
Aus den Augen. Sie wird danach nicht untergehen. Und die Welt sind noch bis 10.
Thank you.